Well, we're in the next to the last sermon in our study of Pray Like This. The foundation of this sermon series, of course, is what we call the Lord's Prayer. Even though as Jesus was teaching this, he wasn't necessarily teaching his disciples to pray these exact words as much as learn from the elements within this prayer of what the Father, the Heavenly Father, desires in our prayer life. So it could also be called the model prayer. I mean, it's not a problem with repeating the Lord's Prayer as long as it's more than just saying words. It's about the heart before the Lord. Well, today we're going to look at what I've entitled the Gospel in Prayer. And I want us to listen again to the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, the verses, and particularly our key verse, which is verse 12 this morning. So we're in Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Well, as I look at this verse 12, for me, there are six questions that come to mind that I want us to think about this morning pertaining to this one verse. And the first one just jumps off the page, should be, what is debt? What is debt? Debt is rampant in our country. You may be in debt today. You may have mortgages, credit cards, car loans, personal loans, student loans, or other type of vehicles of debt. We are told now that there are some college graduates that after they have completed school have over $100,000 in student loan debt. Currently, our country is in debt to the tune of $22 trillion. But we have to face something here. For most Americans, debt is more of an annoyance than it is a real problem to them. They don't see it as a problem, they just see it as an annoyance in their life. Now, in Jesus' day, debt was seen as something quite different. Debt could actually be punished by death. Some people were imprisoned for debt. There was a system in the Roman Empire where you could actually sell yourself or sell a member of your family into slavery to pay off your debt. It was called nexum, N-E-X-U-M. You might be a slave for a year. You might be a slave for a lifetime. It's estimated that outside of the slaves that the Roman armies, when they went to conquer certain countries and they would capture people and use them as slaves, outside of that group of slaves, the next largest group of slaves in the Roman Empire were those who surrendered their lives up because of debt, who voluntarily became slaves because of debt. In Matthew, the word for debt is ophelima, which means debt or what is owed or an obligation. Now, I know some other translations use the word trespasses here, but it really doesn't give the same feel for the actual Greek word of ophelima. It's a debt. It's an obligation owed. When we pray for God to forgive us our debts, what exactly does that mean? Are we asking God to pay off our credit cards, to pay off our student loans? No, debt is our sin or obligation to God for not staying on God's path. It is our sin, our obligation we have unto the Lord because we didn't stay on His path. We didn't stay the creation that He made us to be. And we owe God for disobeying Him. Our sin created debt that we owe to God, and somewhere along the way, that debt has to be paid. Somewhere along the way. Financial debt was a serious issue in Jesus' day. Debt was life or death, financial death. Debt was not just an annoyance to the people of the first century. Debt was a real problem. It determined their future. And just as financial debt was serious and places a person in bondage, our debt of sin is even larger. It's an even larger debt than any financial debt that we owe. What is debt? Well, the next question is, what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? We're going to expound a little bit further on this in a few moments, but just a little brief thing in a nutshell. Forgiveness is the act by an offended party, removing an offense and reestablishing harmonious relations. Notice it starts with the offended party. The person that's been hurt. In brief, the side that is hurt or damaged chooses to renew a relationship as if that hurt never took place. I've entitled this morning the sermon, Gospel and Prayer. So that leads to the third question. Where is the gospel? Where is the gospel in all this? First, we need to understand this verse does not say this. It does not say, forgive us our debts because we have forgiven our debtors. That's not what it says. There's a lot of people I heard that take and imply that that's what this verse says. Because. Forgive us our debts because we have forgiven our debtors. No, the verse says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And as we'll see, there's a difference. And the difference is the gospel message itself. The bottom line concerning the gospel is that God demands a payment. A payment of the penalty for your sin and my sin, our debt. He demands a payment for our debt. We don't get off scot-free, in other words. Somebody has to pay. And then what does He do? He turns around and then provides the payment. He offers the payment to us. He demands payment for our sin, and then He turns around and offers the payment for us. And Jesus became God's substitutionary payment to pay the penalty, to pay our debt. The gospel reveals that we cannot cling to our self-righteousness to pay the penalty. We cannot cling to our sacrifice. Instead, we cling to the sacrifice and the righteousness of Jesus instead. When the gospel comes alive in us, we enter into the first part of salvation. When we come to Jesus Christ, we enter into the first part of salvation. It's called justification. Fancy word, justification, but a very simple meaning. It means in Jesus, we look to God just as if we never sinned. When we come to Jesus, we are justified. When we give our life over to Him, when we seek forgiveness from God, we look now to God just as if we have never sinned. Justification. Jesus paid the debt of sin so that our debt is cleared. We owe God nothing then. because our debt is cleared. Not a single payment of our sin debt can be made by us. It cannot be made by any good work you do. It cannot be made because you live a good life or you're a good person. It's not enough. The payment is too large. It took God to do the work. It took Jesus to do the work. In the mystery of the Trinity, Jesus, God Himself, making the payment Himself to Himself. After justification, that initial stage, just as if I have never sinned, we move to the stage called sanctification. Sanctification is when God works in our lives to make us more like Jesus. God still at work. Once again, this is not our own. We do not sanctify ourselves. We do not grow in Jesus Christ ourselves. It takes Jesus in us, the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Because see, we are promised. We are promised that the Holy Spirit will come within us, God Himself. See, we're cleared of our sins. Justification, because we've been humble and honest before the Lord, asking forgiveness, seeking that forgiveness from Him. And He promises we are forgiven. So we become justified, cleared of the sins. And then we go into a growing pattern, sanctification, being sanctified. And this is a period of time that we grow to look more and more like Jesus. To grow and be more and more like Jesus. And let's face it, we're all far from that. But I hope you're growing in Him step by step to become more like Him. Oh, we're not going to be exactly like Him until the day we go home to be with the Lord. But we are to grow sanctification. Think of it this way. God doesn't leave us at justification. He doesn't say, okay, now you're saved. That's all it is to it. He doesn't just leave us at that step, because if He left at that step, it would be kind of like, think of a wedding. Bride and groom, they're standing up there in the front with the minister, they do their I do's, He pronounces them man and wife, He introduces them to the congregation, here's Mr. and Mrs. John Smith. And then the bride stays up on the stage and the groom leaves. That would be just staying at justification. We got married to the bride, and now we're out the door and we just leave her up there. No, God says, no, I'm taking the bride with me. I want the bride to grow with me. I want the bride to dwell with me. And so the bride and groom come together in a period of growth called sanctification. God doesn't just remove our debt and then leave us to living the same old life. After we are justified, we go through a non-stop transformation process in our lives called sanctification. And honestly, it's in sanctification where we start to learn how to truly forgive others' debts to us. At that point, good works and good life is not about earning salvation. It's not about trying to get some brownie points with God. At this point, when we do good works and we live a good life, it's because we're growing more and more to be like Jesus. We do them because of the transformation that occurs within us. And that's important to know, to understand this gospel that's in this prayer. Because see, this prayer establishes that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Put that slide up there. Next slide. Thank you. This prayer establishes that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. It says, forgive us our debts. It does not say, if I happen to sin, or maybe I will sin. The prayer affirms our fallen state as human beings, that we are all sinners in need of the forgiveness of God. This is the basis of the gospel. It's where the gospel begins. We need help. We need forgiveness. There's a sin problem in our lives, and we cannot fix it on our own. We need forgiveness. We violated God's law. We've turned our back on His commands. We need forgiveness. But there's another part to this prayer. This prayer teaches us that we have the hope of forgiveness also. Maybe we miss the gravity of what Jesus is saying here. Jesus taught that sinners who are rebels against God, every one of us at one point is a rebel against God before we come to Him. The sinners can have the audacity now, after they come to Christ, they have the audacity to be able to go before the throne of God. This is the throne that is centered on justice. His throne is centered on holiness, but likewise, His throne is centered on love. And we can come before His presence seeking forgiveness. This can only happen because of Jesus' bold sacrifice for us on the cross. But also this prayer reveals God's willingness to forgive sin. By Jesus, God in the flesh, teaching this very prayer, He taught, God desires to forgive you and to forgive me. That's His heart's desire, to forgive us. And actually, you know what? There is only one thing greater than our need of forgiveness. There's only one thing greater than our need of forgiveness, and that's God's determination to forgive us. Richard Sibes was a Puritan from the early 1600s, and he described God's willingness this way. He said, there is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. There's more mercy in Christ than there is sin in us. Praise God for that. This is just another way of saying 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The next thing, though, is this prayer demonstrates the relational character of the kingdom of God. Remember earlier in this prayer, we prayed, God's kingdom come, God's will be done. That kingdom is not just about the future, sweet by and by when Jesus returns. The kingdom has already started. The kingdom has already started here on earth when Jesus came the first time. And the kingdom continues to expand with every single heart that turns to Jesus and receives God's forgiveness. The kingdom expands. And I wonder, have you done that? And if not, why don't you let the kingdom expand today by coming to Jesus Christ and finding that forgiveness of sin that you need? But today, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are already part of the kingdom here on earth. It's not an earthly kingdom, though. Oh, it's God's kingdom who has come here on earth. It's not an earthly kingdom, because let's face it, earthly kingdoms are usually about power and selfish promotion and selfish ambition. And sometimes earthly kingdoms can be rather cruel. But citizenship in God's kingdom is quite different. It has different characteristics and qualities. Instead, His kingdom is about mercy, kindness, compassion, sacrificial love, and forgiveness. Forgiveness of debts. There's no place in the kingdom of God for malice and anger and bitterness. And I got to ask, are you angry or bitter towards someone today? Because if so, it's not the nature of the kingdom that you're a member of if you are Christ's child. It's not the nature of what God has called us to. That's the nature of an earthly kingdom. It's not the nature of God's kingdom. By agreeing with God that we are sinners and repenting of that sin, and asking God for forgiveness, He clears our debt and then begins a mighty work within us. The gospel is working in us. And as we change, as we go through sanctification, we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit Himself, God Himself. So that leads to the fourth question. How can we forgive? How can we forgive? You know, that's a tough one, isn't it? In a lot of cases, that's a hard one to do. Let us remember that Jesus is not saying in this prayer, he's not saying, forgive us our debts because we have forgiven our debtors. And I bring that to your point because to pray in that thought, in that train of thought, would mean you're still trying to earn your forgiveness, your salvation. And you can't do that. You nor I can ever earn forgiveness because it's a gift of God. Remember Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works. You can't work for it. It's a gift of God so that no one may boast. And too many Christians, I'm afraid, are still trying to earn their salvation instead of accepting the free gift that God has given them. Instead, we pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And here is where sanctification, a growing to be like Jesus, takes effect in our hearts and lives. We must be transformed to forgive as God forgives. It's the reason why it's a process within us, because we can't truly forgive the way God forgives unless He dwells within us and is growing us in Him. One way that we know whether God has and is transforming our lives is by whether we use God's strength to forgive others around us. I had a person call me probably about 6-7 months ago now. Actually, he was very, very crude, very rude type of a person. He was a very destructive type of person. And he started off the conversation by saying, will you forgive me? And I told him, I said, I've told you that in the past. I've forgiven you. And I said, actually, I haven't even thought anything about this until you just brought it up again. Well, this forgiveness is, I mean, honestly, it's not of my doing, because my nature would be, forget it. I'm not forgiving you. That would be my nature. But it's Christ working through me. And that's what He does in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 8 and 11 says, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. See, the transformation of God within us, the transformation that takes place within us is through the Holy Spirit, to remember people's sins no more. The transformation of God in us through the Holy Spirit is to remember people's sins no more. We don't forgive because I want to be a good boy before God or a good little girl. We forgive as we learn to grow in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That period of sanctification where we are growing in Him and we learn to forgive as God forgives. So that leads to the fifth question. How does God forgive? First off, immediately. He forgives immediately. He's quick to forgive. The moment you ask God with a sincere, humble heart before Him for forgiveness, He gives it to you. 1 John 1:9, once again, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No timeline there. It doesn't say if you confess down the road, we'll forgive. No, it is now, immediate. It doesn't say He might forgive. It says if we confess our lack of holiness in our lives, He forgives. Little John had a new slingshot. He wasn't very good at using his slingshot. He tried shooting some tin cans and he missed. He tried shooting a bird and he missed. He tried shooting a dog and he missed. He tried shooting a rabbit and he missed. His grandmother called him into the house for dinner. And on the way in, he tried one more time. There was Grandma's favorite duck. He decided to shoot at the duck. He hadn't had much luck. Well, as luck would have it this time, he not only hit the duck, he killed the duck. He didn't think anyone saw him. So he grabbed the duck, dug a hole real quick, buried the duck, and then came in for dinner. After dinner, Grandma asked John's little sister, Sally, to do the dishes. Sally leaned over to John and said, "Remember the duck." She knew. And John ended up washing dishes that night. The next day, Grandma asked Sally to sweep the front porch. Sally told John, "Remember the duck." And John swept the front porch. This blackmail scheme went on for a week until John, well, he couldn't stand the guilt anymore, and so he went to his grandmother and told her what he had done. And she said this, "I know you didn't mean to. I was at the kitchen window and saw your expression when you hit the duck, and I saw fear in your face. I was waiting to tell you of your forgiveness when you could admit your guilt." God forgives. God renews relationships immediately upon our confession. I think the problem is we delay our confession instead of immediately seeking forgiveness. God also forgives repeatedly. Even though in our growth or our sanctification period that we go through, we should be moving away from certain sins in our life. It's part of that growth process. Sins still happen. Each time we sin, we separate ourselves from fellowship with God. Not our salvation. We don't separate ourselves from salvation. We have that, but we separate ourselves from fellowship with Him. But God understands our fallen state and is eager to repeatedly forgive. But let me just say something to be careful of. And it's those that get caught up in this philosophy. I know I'm about to sin, but God will forgive me afterward. I really wonder then your thought process on this premeditated sin, which is exactly what it is. I'm not sure you really desire a close relationship with the Heavenly Father when you wink at sin in that manner. God also forgives freely. Now, freely doesn't mean that God's forgiveness has no cost to it. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty of our sins." Freely means He gives generously. Free does not mean there's no penalty, there was no cost involved, because every thorn in Jesus' brow, every nail in His hands and in His feet, every whip that came down on His back was for payment of our debt. God also forgives completely. There's no partial forgiveness with God. Colossians 2, 13 and 14 says, "You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." If you come to God with true sincerity, seeking His forgiveness, He will forgive completely. He doesn't cross His fingers and hold it behind His back and say maybe. No, He forgives completely. So the last question, how do we forgive? How do we forgive? Well, it's not easy, but it's just like God. Immediately, repeatedly, freely, and completely. Immediately, repeatedly, freely, and completely. Is that easy? Once again, no, it's not easy at all. There are some things that are very difficult, let's face it, very difficult that go on in our lives and the people around us for us to accept the need to forgive. Maybe it's something involving abuse. Or maybe someone just hurt you badly. Forgiveness may take time in certain situations as you're growing and learning how to forgive. It's the reason why we're in this sanctification period. It's a learning experience period. We won't become like Jesus overnight. But the nature of immediate forgiveness may be something you need to grow in the Lord over. The question is whether you're seeking help from God in that forgiveness or if you're just stubbornly saying, I'm not going to forgive. Forgiveness does not mean you need to trust the person necessarily, especially in abuse situations, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional. You must be guarded on that. But it does mean that you move toward forgiveness. When we do not forgive, what happens? We are harmed. We harm ourselves when we can't forgive. How do we do that? How do we harm ourselves? Well, when we can't forgive, what happens is this vine called bitterness wraps around our heart. The other person probably either doesn't care or doesn't even know. And you've got bitterness wrapping around your heart. And that keeps us from growing in God's kingdom when that happens. The big idea, prayer thought number 4 in this series, following Jesus means learning to forgive like Jesus. Following Jesus means learning to forgive like Jesus. Are you perfect at it? Am I perfect at it? No. But I'm hoping that you're better at it today than you used to be. In this prayer, we find the gospel in prayer. We have been forgiven. We've been forgiven by God more than we can really ever imagine. And in that forgiveness, we become now children of His kingdom. And are we going to exhibit Jesus? Are we going to exhibit Jesus to others in our forgiveness toward them? See, just as God forgives, we are charged to forgive also. This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, maybe you've never found the full, complete forgiveness from the Heavenly Father. You've never come to Him and admitted your sin and found out just how you can be relieved of that debt burden and begin that process of growing in Jesus Christ. And during our time of invitation, if you want to come and we can pray together or we can talk more afterwards about it, what that all means. But maybe for some of you this morning, there's somebody in your life that you're just having a hard time forgiving. It's a difficult struggle. It's for one issue or another. And maybe this morning it's, Lord, help me. Help me to forgive. Help me learn to forgive. Put me on the path, the roadway of going towards forgiveness. And seek the Lord's help through the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe your membership is somewhere else and you need to make this your home here at Calvary Baptist. Whatever God has called in your heart, be open as we come to this time of dedication unto Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll sing together. Father, Lord, I know it is very difficult for us to forgive in the same pattern in which You forgive. And Lord, I know it is a growing process for each one of us to be able to forgive in that way. But Lord, we have been forgiven so much, such a great debt. We have destroyed this very creation that You have made us to be by our sin, and yet, Lord, You are willing to forgive us of that debt if we come to You. And Lord, help us to learn from that to be forgiving to others around us. Lord, that You may be glorified in the midst of it, and we can see how Jesus Christ is changing us each and every day. Lord, I thank You once again for Your powerful Scripture. May Your will be done during this time of invitation together. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.